Can you hear me now?
I think so.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. I need it. All right. Okay. First of all, I'd really like to thank Joe and Renee for allowing me to minister today. It's been something that's been in me for a long, long time, besides the other things that I do. And I'm thankful that I get to do those here, too, because it's all in the business of building disciples. And even though I'm an older disciple, you still need discipling. And so I just want to thank you for allowing me to grow in my gift, my gifts. And so I just thank you. I thank you for that. And also, my spiritual mom, who's not here today, she lives in Dallas, Texas, but she's going to be listening to the CD. So I just wanted to thank her, too. So thank you, Mom. She spent a lot of time and invested in me when I first got saved out of the Mormon church. She spent a lot of time discipling me one-on-one so that I would have a good foundation. So I'm really thankful for that. The reason why I'm up here today is it all started with a song. The Lord gave me, didn't give me the song, but it was a song that was already done. And he said, this is a song for the season that we're in. And, you know, then he started to kind of roll around in my spirit. And then he started giving me choreography for it. And he says, you need to do this in church on a Sunday before January ends, because this is what this season is about. And so I thought, okay, the song is called The Swords Will Collide. And so I was telling Joe about what the song, it's about digging wells, and you'll get it in a minute. But he goes, well, do you want to teach on it? And I said, no. I'm happy just doing the choreography. And so as soon as I left that day, as soon as I hit the door, the Lord said to me, why did you say no? So I'm totally inadequate for this. And he goes, no, you're not. I believe I have an apostolic anointing gift, and it's just been stuffed down, and so now it gets to come out. So he wouldn't leave me alone. He just kept, you know, he just kept bothering me day in and day out. And, you know, about 4 days later, I finally said to Joe, yes, I will. I will do this, because I know it's something that God has placed in me for a long time. And so anyway, Karen and I have been working on the movements to this song. We believe we heard from the Lord. And so after I'm done ministering to you via what I'm doing up here, we're going to come down and minister in song and dance. And so anyway, what the Lord has really put on my heart, and I really believe it's a word from the Lord. I really believe it's a word for this season. I don't know if many of you know, and some of you don't, that I believe God works in seasons. And we just left a season, and now we're into this new season. So today I would like to minister to you on something that the Lord is walking me through right now. And it's how to contend from a place of rest, peace, and prosperity. I'm walking in a place I've never been before, and it's totally awesome, and it's totally God, and I want to share some things about that with you. About 3 or 4 or 5 months ago, in my spirit, I felt that there was a shift in the heavens. I don't know how to explain it. It was just, I just felt like, you know, God just did something. And so I thought, okay, well, that's just kind of interesting. And then I get a lot of emails, like from Chuck Pierce and from Rick Joyner and Cindy Jacobs, and they come weekly. And all of a sudden, I started seeing the same things. They're all talking about this shift that's happened. And so I'm thinking, oh wow, this is really neat that, you know, God would give me that information. And so I just love it. Don't you love it when God confirms something like that? I love it. I just love it, and I just eat it up. And so I believe that that shift that happened there is now happening now on the earth. It's now, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word. But anyway, it's now come to earth, and I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it in people's lives. I'm seeing it in my own life. So that shift is causing, it's causing it to come down to earth. And we need to be listening to the Lord for what he's telling us, because we can be walking in things. He wants us to be victorious, and we need to listen so that we can be victorious. But we have to, we're in a battle. I mean, if you're going to conquer something, you're going to fight. Let's put it that way. But God wants you to do it from a place of rest and peace and prosperity. And I'm walking in that right now, even though I'm contending. My family's a mess. I mean, I don't, all our four girls, or none of them are walking in the Lord. And there's just, you know, Rich and I were out of a job for a while. He's still out of a job. And I'm just walking in this peace and rest. And so the Lord took me, that song, he took me through some, excuse me, some scriptures. But first of all, when that shift happened, Rich, I had already, God told me to quit my job, but he had something else for me. I had no idea what it was, but shortly after, then he allowed me to be the coordinator for the Neighborhood Food Network, which we do here. And so I was making $650 a week, and the Lord said, quit and do this. And I'm thinking, okay, so how am I going to, how, what's it going to do to our budget? You know, that's the first thing you think of instead of, okay, Lord, I trust you. And so it was really teaching me how to believe. And I said, okay, this is it. This is this shift. I either believe this, what God says, that he's going to take care of all my needs, or I don't believe it. And so I just grabbed a hold of that, I think, we all say it. Yeah, I believe your word. But when you're put into a situation, you know, do you really believe it? I mean, you got to step in and really believe it, that what God said is true. And I know that, you know, I haven't been a Christian all that long, but I, you know, I know that what's gone on in the body is that, it's just kind of there, like, yeah, it's there, but, you know, it's not happening to me. So anyway, so he just starts, when I didn't lose my job, I quit my job and started doing the Neighborhood Network, and God has just blessed me through that. Tremendously. I think it's ironic that I came out of the Mormon church, and most of our families that we're ministering to through food, most of them come from the Mormon church. So I think that's really ironic. But I'm able to give them a little pieces of the word, and so I'm excited about that. Then Rich, all of a sudden, you know, lost his job. The college shut down all of community education. That was like a so totally unseen thing. And right then at that point, I'd already made up my mind, I'm just going to trust God. And I have just been at such peace with that. And so by this time, I was really hooked on the Lord, about trusting the Lord, because I was watching him do these things in our life. And it started out with, unexpected places. And this is what he's doing in this season. I'll get to that towards the end, but he's bringing us a reward. Our reward is coming for all the trials and tests that we've been through. But we decided to change our insurance company for our house mortgage. And we knew we were going to get about $200 back, because that's how much cheaper it was, you know, per year. Well, when they went back and found out that they were taking out too much money out of our mortgage payment, and we got $1,200 back. That got us through the first month. And then we used to bank with Bank of America when we first came here, and that was like 15, 16 years ago. There was a settlement we didn't even know about. Boom, that money came in, you know, and it was like, wow, this is really good. That was our money for Christmas, you know. And then Rich's mom usually sends us $500 for Christmas. And this year she sent us $2,000, because she said she just felt like, you know, she needed to bless us that way. So I know it was God telling her to now. But, you know, and then now, I mean, that gets us up to January and February. Rich's mom got a new car, and basically I won't go into all that detail, but she got a new car, and so she went to sell her old car. She thought it was going to take a while, but she told the car dealership, and they wanted to buy it. So she's sending us the money for from her old car. So, I mean, it's just God's providing every step of the way. So, it's awesome because this is what he's doing. We need to step into what he's doing, and we need to really listen to what he's telling us. So he took me to, I'm going to read to Genesis 26, 12 through 33. I want to read the whole story to you. I mean, I don't know if you've heard this story. It's about Isaac and the wells that he was digging. And I love it when God, you know, that story's been in there for centuries. And I've read it before, but now it's living. It's a living thing to me. And I love it because it's the living word. And, you know, you can read something and then all of a sudden it just sticks out. So I want to, through this story, when we'll take each of the scriptures and kind of break them down, I want to show you how the Lord showed me how to contend. I still have to contend for all these things that are around me. But I'm contending from a place of rest and peace and prosperity. And that's what he wants to do for all of us. That's how we're going to overcome all the things that are happening in our world around us. So you'll turn to Genesis 26, and I'm going to just read the whole story, 12 through 33. Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are too powerful for us." And Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the same names which his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, "The water is ours." So he named the well Essek, because they contended with him. When they dug another well, and they dug another well, and then they quarreled over that too, so he named it Sitnah. He moved away from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it, so he named it Rehoboth. For he said, "At last the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba. The Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug another well. Then Abimelech came to Azuthoth and Phicol and commander of his army. Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" They said, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, even between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you, and have done to you nothing but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." Then he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. In the morning they arose early and exchanged oaths. Then Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Now it came about on the same day that Isaac's servants came in and told him about the well which he had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city to this day is called Beersheba. So that just kind of sounds like a well story. There's digging lots of wells. And so I just kind of want to share with you a little bit about what the Lord showed me through that story. Back in the days of Abraham and Isaac, people either lived by a river or they dug wells. And that kind of signified to everybody around them that we're staying here for a while. You know, we're digging this well. It's a well that provided water for their family, for their cattle. And so when Isaac came, he planned on staying a while, so he dug a well. In this part of the scripture, we're going to see how Isaac was forced to move a number of different times. Each time when he stopped, he dug a well, thinking that he would stay there for a little while, but things didn't turn out like he planned. Has that ever happened to you? Things didn't turn out like you planned? Okay, so I want to look at verse 14 through 16. If you can turn there, or you can look up at the screen here. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are too powerful for us." Without water, it would be impossible for Isaac, his family, and his livestock to stay in the area. And he was being chased away. He could stay and fight, but he wisely chose to move on. There are times in our lives when circumstances may cause us to move on or make changes and adjust what God is allowing to happen in our lives. Isaac realized that God would provide him with a different place to live, so instead of getting hostile and violent, he accepted what God was doing in his life. We need to accept what God's doing in our life. Unless you on purposely did something dumb or stupid or whatever and you're suffering the consequences, God's always doing something in your life. And we need to look at it and you know, if we don't understand it, we need to say, "Lord, what are you trying to show me here? What's going on here?" But he's always doing stuff in our lives. So Isaac decided to move on. Sometimes we have to learn it's time to move on. God has allowed circumstances to occur in our life, and instead of getting angry or frustrated or live in fear, we need to place ourselves in God's hands. And it sounds so simple, but we need to do it. We really need to do it. That means we really have to trust him when his word says that he supplies all our needs, when there's just so many promises in the word of God. We don't need to just say it or hope that it's going to happen. We need to believe that it's true. 17 and 18. And Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the same names which his father had given them. Isaac left where he wasn't wanted, and he settled in the valley of Gerar. The Hebrew meaning for Gerar is dragged off. That's exactly how Isaac felt. He had been dragged off by God to a strange country. But he made the best of it and began by digging up the old wells of his father Abraham. I have felt that same way before, where God just drug me off somewhere. And I'm sure you felt that way too, probably. Where am I, God? Why'd you bring me here? And so as we ponder this thought, I was thinking about the old wells, and they were kind of speaking to me. Isaac was turning back to what was proven wells. These were wells that was dug by his father. They were proven, they were true, and so the word of God is true, and we need to go with things that are proven, and a generation just doesn't start new. We have generations upon generations upon generations of people in our line of family, and we need to stick to what is proven and what is true, and we need to follow those experiences in life that are true, that we know are proven and true. 19 and 20. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, "The water is ours." So he named the well Essek, because they contended with him. The herdsmen of Gerar didn't want Isaac's flocks competing with their own for pasture or water, so they contended with Isaac. The name he gave this well is Essek, which in Hebrew means contention. What contentions are you facing? I know I faced a lot of them, and I just seemed to couldn't find any peace or rest or happiness anywhere. Contention is a robber of happiness and joy. And through complaining and striving, I had lost a lot of my joy. Are you in that place today? Have you lost your joy? Look and see if you're contending with someone that you shouldn't be contending with. Or you need to just leave things alone instead of, you know, that constant fight. So what did Isaac do? Isaac moved on. God is with us, and he will give us a place of rest. But we need to listen to what he's saying in his word, because it's not just a story about wells. Okay, in verse 21, and then they dug another well, and they quarreled over it too, so he named it Sitnah. The people quarreled over this well too, and that's why Isaac named the well Sitnah, which means strife. It seems that Isaac was having a real problem with people. Oh, I could go there 100 times. I've been there, done that, have the scars. Does it seem that people are mistreating you or causing strife in your life, and you don't know how much more you can take? Isaac was willing to take more than that, so he can. We can see that God will be with us. I'm sorry, because God will be with us if we will just shut our mouth and move on. Sometimes you can't. I have a daughter who just will not forgive me for something I never even did, and every time we get together, it's like I just want to, you know. And I'm learning how to just shut my mouth and move on. And you know what? It's working out really awesome. God is building that relationship back up. So strife with other people is not where God wants us to be. Instead, Isaac was willing to keep going until he found the place of rest which God would provide. Do you realize that God has a place of rest for you? He does. Maybe all you can see now is your troubles and your sorrows. Perhaps you become angry and frustrated. But God has a place of rest for each one of us. And we must be willing to continue traveling down the road and let God prepare us for what he has for us. He doesn't want us in strife and contention. He wants us over here. And with the season that we're in, this new season, Well, I'll get to that. That's the exciting part about this whole thing, is the seasons that we're in. Okay, verse 22. He moved away from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he named it Rehoboth, for he said, at last the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And finally, Isaac arrives in a place where there is no contention or strife. Oh, that feels good. It feels good to me. Because I'm walking in it right now. Except, you know, when I learned to do the things that I read here, and I'm just watching God do all this stuff in my life. And it feels so good to be in a place of rest and peace. And Chuck Pierce said something one time. He said, you just have to get to a place where you're not offended by anything. And so it's so peaceful in that place. This time he names the well Rehoboth, which means wide places. God had a place prepared for Isaac all along. Notice the statement of faith in the verse here. At last the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. He understood that this is where God wanted him to be all along. So he had faith. He said, at last, you know, God has done this, and we're going to be fruitful in this land. So, we need to see where God is taking us, and we need to have faith that he's going to get us there. So where is your Rehoboth? Where is your place that God wants you to be? God has a place of rest. You just have to do like Isaac did. And you may be going through some difficult times right now, and it may seem like there's nothing but trouble and strife, but there is a special place God has for you, and I can attest to that. And he wants everybody to be there. I'm nobody special, but he's just taken me through this. So I'm thankful that he's that he's doing this with me. God had much more for Isaac than just a place of free of contention. Even though God provided this place of rest for Isaac, he had greater things in store. Sometimes we think we have it pretty good. Everything is going well. But God has something even better. He always has better. Always has better. And as we see, Isaac makes one more move. Verse 23 through 25. Then he went up from there to Beersheba. The Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servant dug a well. There's something about these wells. The Bible doesn't say why Isaac moved from Rehoboth. Perhaps he used up all the pasture land. It doesn't really say. But God has provided him a chance to rest and regain strength there. From the next verse, it seems he may have done very well, increasing his flocks and numbered of hired help, because that's what it says in the scripture there. God blessed him at Rehoboth, but it was time to go to his final destination. Rehoboth was but a rest stop, not a final place in mind for Isaac. As we go through life's changes, there will come times when we will have an encounter with God and will receive clear direction and assurance. When that happens, build an altar, a place of prayer and sacrifice. An altar is just, okay, thank you, God, and, you know, you pray and thank God for the place that he's provided. Be willing to spend time with God. Call out to him, and he will answer you. Next, pitch your tent. Know that this is where God wants you. So many times, and I've done it too, oh, God wants me to move here so I can be close to my spiritual mom. I love her. She's just a blessing in my life. She lives in Texas. I've been trying to get there for a long time, and I finally stopped striving to get there. And I'm here. I'm here where I'm at. God told me that he had a place for me, and he wanted me to go, and I was really unaware. I didn't know how to handle this. I was in a church that... it was a good church, but it wasn't the right church. God has a right place for you. I was on the worship team. I was also in the congregation, but also leading worship for the children's ministries. I was very, very connected to this church. And for 15 years, we went to this church. And for almost all 15 of that, it just did not feel right. I mean, it just... there was just that contention, and so I kept praying and praying, and finally, you know, God answered me after 15 years. So hang in there, because he eventually does answer you. And I was just really afraid, because I knew the pastors had a lot of breakups and stuff at their church, and people hurt them a lot, and I didn't want to be the one to hurt them. And so it took me a long time to leave there. And when I did, I was assured that this is what God wanted me to do. And then I came here, and I have been totally, totally blessed by awesome leaders that we have here. And I just want to interject this. When Kamal came on, he came to our Wednesday night prayer service before he did the big thing on Saturday. He knelt down in front of Joe and Renee, and he looked them in the eye, and I started to get teary-eyed. He says, "You are generals." And I just want to attest to that. I say that they are generals, and they're teaching their soldiers how to fight and how to do what they need to do. So I just was so touched by that God put me in the place of generals. Oh, thank you, God. Okay, so this is the place God told me to come to. So I pitched my tent and I dug my well, and it's just been an awesome place for me. God has caused me to grow here, and that's what you want to do. You want to keep growing. So you want to always go where you know God wants you to be. And I want to add, too, when God tells you to go to a certain place, don't just sit there. Roll up your sleeves and get to work. I mean, that's just part of the apostolic thing coming out of me. But there's work to be done. And so, you know, God doesn't send you to a place to sit. He sends you to a place to to roll up your sleeves and get to work. And so, that enough said about that. Okay, verses 26 through 29. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with his advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his army. Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" They said, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you. We said, let there now be an oath between us, even between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you and have not done to you nothing, but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." It seems that Abimelech had heard about Isaac's success, and he decided that it would be a good idea to be on Isaac's side. And at first, Isaac didn't want anything to do with him or his group. And he may have thought that he was going to be chased away again. But this time, the people had seen God with Isaac. Does people see God on you, in you? They saw it on Isaac. They decided to make a covenant with him. Those that Isaac thought were his enemies, God had changed their hearts. So if you have enemies, God can change their hearts. And they wanted to be friends with Isaac. And we need to remember that when we feel like everybody's against us, I've been there too, even though we did nothing wrong, that God can change the hearts of those who have ill feelings towards us. And just like he did here, he changed their hearts. And so now they were friends with Isaac. And so things went easier for Isaac, and things will go easier for you too. Verse 30 through 33. Then he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. And in the morning they arose early and exchanged oaths. Then Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Now it came about on the same day that Isaac's servants came in and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba. They had a great feast, and they made a covenant with one another. And on that same day, you guessed it, they dug another well. So Isaac's servants dug the well and found water. And Isaac called this well Sheba, which means oath. Later the place was called Beersheba, which is still called to this day, and the meaning is well of oath. Do you know that God has made an oath with you? He has promised to be with you no matter what changes are going on in your life. I've had a lot of them, a lot of changes, and I'm still standing. And I'm not only standing, I'm standing victorious. So know that God has promised to be with you and to pour out his blessings upon you. I just love the songs today, Matt. And they were just awesome, because it's all about, you know, God just loves us so much. He's promised to save you and keep you. And we have a covenant with God. That covenant is going to be honored through all eternity. It's not just, you know, here, there, or okay, it's going to go away. It's for all eternity. And God has brought me through all these things that in this whole book, all these little things. I mean, he took me back to all these little things that happened in my life. And he's brought me to a place of rest and peace. And now he's providing for my needs. And so he wants you to be there also. These are just little things that he's shown me. And the season that we're in is a little difficult right now, but God is, you can tell that there's a season change, because we're doing things different. You can feel it, and you can see it in people and on people. And things are getting a little hairy out there and scary as far as our government goes, but God still wants you to attack it from a place of rest and peace. We are in the times that the prophet spoke about, the last days. I'm so excited. I've been one. When I got saved, that's all I wanted to do was be in the last days. I wanted to see that return. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know God's preparing me, and he wants to prepare you also. So things are happening, so whether we like it or not, it's going to happen. It's time to wake up and stand up and ramp up our faith, because God is getting ready to pour out like we have never seen before. He wants us in the flow of what he's doing on the earth. And that's why that shift happened, manifest. That's the word I was looking for. That shift happened, now it's manifesting on the earth. And he's doing a quick job. Things are happening quickly. I'm overcoming things quickly that I've never been able to overcome before. But it's time to listen. We really need to listen to the Lord. And if you're having problems listening to the Lord, we'll pray for you at the end of the service. Because it's so important nowadays to listen. So we have to know and believe in what he says. And he's given us everything that we need to succeed. Everything. You may not think so, but he has given us everything. Because he's going to have a kingdom here on earth, and nothing is going to stop that. Nothing is going to stop it. Many in the body are living in fear and contention, and the darkest hour hasn't even arrived yet. They're shaking it now. I mean, how are we going to shine? This is a year to shine, and it's a year to people to see the glory of God on you. God will put it on you. I mean, it's there. You just got to bring it out. And if we're not shining and we're not filled with God's glory, people aren't going to see it. God will give us strategies if we just stop and listen. It's all about listening this season. So I just kind of want to take a glimpse. Last season, and it seems to me that God works like in three, I mean, he does all kinds of other seasons, and most of you know that I kind of follow the Jewish calendar, and there's monthly seasons, monthly cycles, and yearly cycles, but as far as the whole body of Christ, it seems to come in threes. And so we just came out of a season, we were crossing over the last season, and crossing over from the trials that we had, and the things that we were facing, and the struggles we were facing. Some of us are still stuck back here, still struggling, and with the trials that we were in, and we were supposed to cross over now, and so now this new season, and I know Renee's talked about it, and I won't get into that. That's a whole nother teaching. The camels are coming. And so if you're still stuck in this season, the last season, we want to pray for you too at the end of the service, because there's a new season that God is birthing. And I mean, it's already birthed. It's happening on the earth. And what I've learned from my trials and in the that I've gone through, and what God wants you to know, is, you know, I kept thinking, what have I learned from all these? But, you know, why did I go through these things? You know, some of the things are caused by your own stupidity when you do things that are, you know, not right, and you know that. But if you're following the Lord and you're having trials, I've got good news for you. opposition, what does it bring? Well, for one thing, the bad thing that it brings is post-traumatic stress disorder. And I'm serious. I mean, it's just because you go through these, some of them are pretty heavy duty, and then you get over that, and now you've got these flashbacks. Oh, I'm afraid to do this, I'm afraid to do that, because this may happen. And God wants to heal you from that. And this is a season for healing. So he wants to take all that away from you. It causes our weak side to come to surface so that God can skim it off. We have a weak side, we're humans, but God wants to skim it off if you let him. It helps us to create resistance. So you think of somebody lifts weights, okay? God's putting muscle on us. He's putting muscle on us because he's got something planned. So he wants us to be in it for the long haul. I believe God is building strength through this past season that we've been through, and some of us have been through some pretty hairy things. And because he wants us, this is a time to emerge and rule. And I want to read to you the definitions of emerge and rule. Can you put that up? You don't have it? Okay. All right. The definition of emerge. Now, I want you to be thinking about the body of Christ when I read this definition. It's just so cool. to come forth into view or notice as from concealment or obscurity, to rise or come forth from an inferior or unfortunate state or condition. Has that been where we were at, where we've been at? Well, we're emerging. We're emerging and we're coming forth, and we need to come forth with the glory of God on us. The definition of rule, to have control, dominion, to reign, to have influence. That's where God wants us to be in this season. Everything that God has allowed was to bring us to a place of maturity. We are coming to a place of maturity. And sometimes that's painful, you know, but we need to know that God had this planned all along to build that muscle on us, to make us strong. Because in the new season, he needs us to rise and come forth and rule his kingdom here on the earth. We can't rule. We can't rule if we're not mature and we don't have strength. You know, that's not going to happen. And God is speaking. He's always speaking. But we need to listen, because those that don't, they're going to miss all this awesome stuff that God's doing. God wants us to see those things from a place of agreement. Okay, if you thought that I'm just going through these trials and, you know, it's just woe is me, stop thinking that way, because God is building up muscle in you. And how much easier is it to go through something when you're in agreement with somebody? Have you ever been trying to work with somebody when you disagree? It's really tough. So if you're disagreeing with God and he's trying to build up muscle, that's that contention thing. And so we need to be in agreement. Say, thank you, God. Thank you that you're bringing me through this so that I can arise and shine, and I'm going to rule and reign. I mean, hallelujah. That's awesome. So God wants us to be he wants us to be fit to partner. He wants to co-labor. He wants us to co-labor with him. You ever stop and think about that? The God of the universe wants us to co-labor with him. That just blows my mind. But he wants us now to co-labor with him on a different level. We've come at it. We were over here. Now he wants us over here, where we're going to emerge and we're going to rule and we're going to reign. That's a different level. So he needs to take us up another level. And if we're stuck back here, we're not going to make it to that level. This is a different season. And in different seasons, there's different levels. And so I kind of covered this a little bit before, but we still have to contend and we still have to fight the good fight, but he's trying to show us how to do it from a different level. The level that I have been walking in through the last couple months is awesome. I mean, it's just listening and trusting and believing and moving on. Thank you, God, that you brought me through all this stuff, because look where I'm at now. And I'm excited about where I'm at now. The old man needed to die because we're coming into a new position of power and authority. That old man, all that stuff that was there needed to die. It needed to die because you're going to be over here. And so I believe that God is going to reward us for the hard season of testing that we've gone through. And that's what he's doing now. I'm getting my reward. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I believe that it will be a new season. The camels, they keep calling about the camels are coming, and they came once in the story of Isaac and Rebekah. Well, they came several, you know, in other stories, but I keep thinking the story of Isaac and Rebekah is about Jesus coming for the bride, and the camels came and brought the gifts to Rebekah. The camels came and brought us gifts. They're coming again. They're coming. They're on their way, and they're going to bring us the rewards for being going through those testings, for coming out on this end and not staying over here. God is going to heal us from those traumatic stress things so we don't have the flashbacks anymore. There's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles. I mean, some of them are happening already. This is going to be an era of the coming of the bride. And I know that a lot of people have, you know, they read the stories and, you know, the bride, it's going to happen now. I mean, I believe that's what God's been telling me. The era of the bride. We're in the era of the bride, and she's coming forth, and she's going to emerge as a perfect bride. And she's going to be perfect because we're going to allow God to do what he needs to do in us to get us over here. all the things about the bride that we've read. Now, we've been waiting. I mean, a lot of people have been waiting longer than I have. But they've been waiting and waiting and waiting. I'm just so excited because God is bringing us forth. This is the way I kind of look at it. What didn't kill you in the last season is only going to make you stronger in this season. So if you yield to God and follow his pattern, this season will be one of crossing into new opportunities, receiving fresh perspective. I've got a fresh perspective, and I'm gung-ho ready to go. to move from recovery to wholeness. And I got to say a little bit something about the wholeness part. I've been wanting to eat right for a long time. I think God just, I was born to be, to eat all the good, not a necessarily vegetarian, but all the good things, the good fresh fruits, fresh whatever. And I never could get on top of that thing. And, I have had an immune deficiency to problem where my immune system was attacking itself. And I tried and tried and tried. This season, the Lord says, I want you to change your diet. And I went in my cupboard and I threw everything out. I'm not saying you have to do this. I'm just giving you what he's done for me. I went through and I got rid of all the monosodium glutamate, whatever, all the stuff that I couldn't pronounce. I got rid of it all. And a matter of fact, he's taking me on, I'm eating a lot more raw. So about 75% of my food now is raw. Raw, because when you cook vegetables, you lose all the nutrients. So it's so easy, and I love it, and it's just exciting, and Rich is excited about it too, aren't you? Yes. He never was a meat and potatoes man, so I'm cool with that. But when I do have meat, it's very sparingly, and God is just, I feel so good, and I'm more energetic, and my immune system, I'm sleeping good. I'm just, except for when Rich snores and wakes me up, I sleep good, and this is part of being over here, because God, we're going to have to be strong. And, some of us are ingesting things in our bodies that aren't good for us, and poisons. And I mean, if you really, look at some of that stuff, it's really scary. So this is my little hurrah for eating good. So it's a season of learning to contend from a place of rest and peace and provision as we partner with God to bring his kingdom to earth. It can be done because I'm walking through it right now. And so I just want to tell you about it because I believe it's a word from the Lord, and I believe we need to grab a hold of it because, we're losing time here. I think God isn't coming back because we ain't got it together yet. So we need to get on board and get it going. So Karen and I are going to, we're going to deliver this message about the wells via song and movement. And if you're feeling weak or fearful, or you're going through some changes and you feel like God's dragged you off somewhere and you don't know, you're confused and you think you're in a strange place or whatever, you're in fear or you're in strife or you're in conflict or you're stuck back here in the last season, when we do this, I just want you to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you from the words and the movement. It's all about Isaac and his wells. Give us just a second to get set up and get my thingy off. Can you take that off for me and turn it off?
Behold the sword of the Lord, see it rise against the swell of the enemy's tide. I rose to contend, but was hindered inside. I laid hold of the stones in my well, and I threw them aside. I forgave my offenders, and then I rose up to fight. Come, said the Spirit and the Bride. Come, you who thirst deep inside. Come, and the swords will collide. I laid hold of the stones in my well, and I threw them aside. I forgave my offenders, and swords will contend in the mid-heaven skies. Kingdoms will fall and kingdoms will rise. My fight begins with the enemy's lies. I laid hold of the songs in my well, and I threw them aside. I forgave my offenders, and then I rose up to fight. Come, said the Spirit and the Bride. Come, you who thirst deep inside. Come, and the sword will collide. I laid hold of the stones of my well, and I threw them aside. I forgave my offenders, and then I Spirit and the Bride to be. Come everyone to drink, all who are thirsty. I hear them calling me, the Spirit and the Bride to be. Come everyone to drink, all who are thirsty. I hear them calling me, the Spirit and the Bride to be. Come everyone to drink, all who are thirsty. I hear them calling me, the Spirit. The strain against the time, against all odds, I will rise. 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 To be, come everyone to drink, all who are thirsty. I hear them calling me, the Spirit and the Bride to be. Come everyone to drink, all who are thirsty.